on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Job Dean Cox again, this time he's in! At the second time of asking, Dean Cox takes Leighton Orient a step closer to Wembley.
Carroll. Jonathan Tahoué. Capable of anything, Tahoué! Equaliser for Leighton Orient!
We're not a city, we're not a town. We're the only one of us around, and you know where we can be found when Saturday comes again. We'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we're Leighton Orient from E10. Leighton Orient from E10.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Orient Hour. My name is Billy Herring, and I am joined today by Rich Priest on the buttons. Rich, how's things?
Good, thanks, Bill.
Excellent. Terry Howard, Terry Howard, Orient legend.
Good evening, everyone.
And last but certainly not least, Gareth Platt. Gareth, how are you? You all right?
I'm good, Billy. How are you, mate?
I'm all right. I'm all good. Wonderful. Right, well, chaps, we've got a lot to cram in today. We've got two games to talk about. We've got a Q&A. We've got Bristol Rovers at the weekend. So I suggest we best get on with it, haven't we? I don't know if anyone has heard Richie Welland's interview from last night, but we're going to play that out as well, which is very amusing. So there's some sound bites there for us. But let's start off, shall we, with the Oxford game. So, Oxford away, we started off with a 4-2-3-1 formation with Brin in goal and James Cooper, Beckles and Galbraith at the back, Prattley, El Mazzouni, Moncur, O'Neill, Ford and then Sotiriou up front on his own. Chaps, any surprises do we think about the lineup, or is that the strongest that we could get with our current injury situation going on? Gareth, I'll come to you first.
It does feel like pretty much what we can turn out. Yeah, those are the options we have. I think the concern in the first half at Oxford was they were getting in behind Galbraith, who seemed to be trying to come into midfield quite a lot. I'm sure it was deliberate, but it kind of left a lot of space behind him, and they're trying to exploit that. And it happened a little bit last night against Blackpool as well. So I think it's the only 11 really we can pick. But with a slight issue that Galbraith is probably not most ideally suited at right back. Yeah, so.
Do you think that it's that he's not suited, or do you think that it's the way that he's being asked to play? Because I think that Richie is asking him to play higher up the pitch and join in because he's so good on the ball. Terry, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there's something in that, mate. Saw last night, you know, I mean, his natural thing is to be attacking, isn't it? He's a midfielder, so he's always going to try and sort of whatever. To our 11, as Gareth just mentioned, sometimes less is more. You know, that's who we're kind of stuck with at the moment. So we're getting a reasonable amount of. We talk about building partnerships and stuff like that. I think we're seeing Omar and Brandon at the back now. Looking, I thought last night, arguably that was Brandon Cooper's best performance in an Orient shirt. But going back to the weekend, listen, we're talking about small things, aren't we? Really, I mean, we're not quite nitpicking, and it's a valid point that Gareth made, but that's about as strong as we could get with criticism, really, from the weekend.
I think, Gareth, I think it's an interesting point, because for their goal, it actually came from Galbraith, where he tracked back with the man, but where he's not a natural right back, he switched off and the man just ran in behind him. He wasn't aware of where he was. The body shape was all wrong. He needed to have his body shape turned out more. And obviously the fella got a flick at the front post, which then, you know, just managed to sneak in. I've put down that it was a little bit of defensive immaturity. Rich, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that might be a little bit harsh, but I mean, there was mention as well, but possibly going down as an, I don't think it was down as an own goal in the end, was it? But they sort of, I think it was kind of, it was just unlucky, I think, more than anything. I mean, yeah, I see what you're saying, but I personally probably wouldn't have said that myself. But yeah, I mean, it was just, yeah, it's just one of those things, I think, more than a proper error, really, I think. But yeah, I mean, possibly that is one of those, you know, he's out of position, he's not a natural defender, and he'll learn from that kind of thing. But
yeah, I mean, I think for me, when you look at him, the way he runs, the guy runs in behind him and he's got no idea he's there, and so he runs in behind, then manages to get in front of him and get the little tap. If Galbraith opens his body out, he's got to be aware, his peripheral vision.
Yeah,
got to
maybe
be aware
I need to see it again,
him.
To be fair, yeah.
Yeah. Terry, I'm seeing you nodding your head as a defender there.
Yeah, do you know, at all levels, from Premiership, it's a basic they don't do. They don't open their body out.
Yeah.
They, you know, they get transfixed by the ball, and they're thinking about covering like their right centre-back or left centre-back, whatever, and they just forget, as soon as that person goes out of your eye line, it's a problem,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's what he was probably guilty of. And it's I watch Carl Walker do. I've seen Carl Walker do that for the last 15 years,
yeah.
But he's got that pace that gets him out of jail. But technically, you know, he's not great in that sense. So it's something that goes right through the division, Bill. That a lot of people don't fall back, open their body out.
I do think though that Ethan Galbraith is one of those players that he will learn from that. That's the thing. He's not someone who I think that if it happens again, you know, he'll be aware of that and he'll learn from that mistake. Gareth, what do you think?
No, I think that's absolutely true. He's certainly got the right attitude, hasn't he? Because he's not the tallest guy in the world, but he'll certainly go for every
good
single header.
Air, isn't he?
You know,
good in the air, though, for a little
bit. He tries his absolute best. I mean, sometimes he's just going to lose out height-wise, isn't he? But he absolutely tries for him. But I think it's part of what we're saying, and we touched upon people, you know, at higher levels who do this. You know, you watch Sinchenko, you watch Trent Alexander-Arnold, they do exactly the same thing, and it's trying to get them into midfield. So it's as much a tactical thing as perhaps Galbraith, you know, not being as aware of a defender. I think those are both elements. But, you know, Richie may not be completely unhappy with that because the risk is we get more men in midfield, therefore we have to take a gamble and leave some space behind us.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Terry mentioned it, didn't he, when he did the meet the manager, which was actually the meet the assistant manager, and he said Galbraith in the future will be either an 8 or a 10. So I think that, you know, I mean, I was having a conversation last night with a guy who sits next to me, Jimmy, and I said, this might be the most technically gifted team we've ever had. In my opinion, when you look at the players we've got on that pitch, and you know, even the players that are not fit, Theo and Dan Ajay, for example, from a purely technical perspective, I'm not saying they're the best team we've ever had, but technically, I think they're absolutely fantastic.
I think you're spot on. I mean, I can't even think of a team that would even come close, to be honest. I mean, there's been teams I've preferred that probably Terry's been part of, but you know, they're probably, you know, think of people like Alan Comfort and Danny Carter and Ian Bogie who had that. But here, we've also got like an entire team of it, almost, it feels like. And yeah, I'll make you 100% right. I mean, I don't even think there's an argument there, to be honest. I mean, you could probably go back to before my generation, and there's arguments there probably. And, you know, when I hear some of the players we've had over the, you know, in the 70s and stuff like that, you know, that there's players that I probably wouldn't know there, but there's probably an argument there maybe. But, you know, I've been going 35 plus years now, and I can't think of a more technical team than the one we've got at the minute.
I think it's one of those where in years gone by we always had some good technical players, so every team we had, like you say, you know, you mentioned the Alan Comforts, for example, and Lee Harvey and the likes of that, they were all them good technical players. But then you had your players like your John Sittons, for example, who were a bit more what we would term industrial, I suppose, you know.
Do you know what though, last night we got that balance just right though,
yeah.
We got the balance between your John Sittons, your Keith Days and the technical side of it, because we were good going forward, but when we needed to be, and I think we've learned a little from the Burton game where we just got bullied a little bit, and last night we didn't, and I know we sort of criticised Richie a little bit at times with substitutions. I thought we got him spot on last night. I thought bringing Darren Prattley on was exactly the right thing to do at the time, because they weren't really offering too much, but you knew that once they're behind, they are going to, you know, try and have a bit more of a go. And I thought we coped with it physically. You know, there were so many great points from last night. We'll come to them in a minute when we actually come to the game properly. But, you know, I just thought that the two wins were reasonable, although we only won by one goal in both of them, were reasonably comfortable.
Yeah, do you know what? It's interesting because obviously we've had a couple of results recently where we've gone one up and then we've ended up being on the wrong side of it. And that any other team, you know, you could have seen some heads going down and like feeling a bit sorry for ourselves where we've got a few injuries. But actually, in a way, it's almost galvanised this team. They've gone again to prove to people, you know, well, actually, no, we're not going to just roll over. We're still in the hunt here, and we're going to make something of it. And I think it's interesting because, as you say, physically, I thought against Oxford as well, I thought they could have bullied us. But actually, we just moved the ball about so quickly. Give them the opportunity to do that. And I mean, I thought the first half was fairly even, if I'm honest, but the second half, I thought that, you know, I thought we were the better team by a long stretch, if I'm truthful. I mean, we equalised through Ollie O'Neill in the 51st minute, and it was what Richie called a shot through bodies. We've been practising, but it was really, really calmly and well taken, you know, like, and I just think he's going to be some player. I mean, what do you think, Gareth? What a signing.
Absolutely. It's been an absolute joy to watch him so far. It really is. I was actually talking to the missus yesterday while watching the game, and it's about, do we really miss Archibald? No, I love Theo Archibald, so yeah. Nothing about that. But, you know, he seems to have even more end product, or more end product than Archibald offers, doesn't it? I mean, it's like three goals already, isn't it? You know, so, and for such a young guy, you can tell. What I really like about him is he's strong. You know, he's not your typical winger who kind of gets bullied by a rough, tough fullback. He'll actually give his own, won't he? And he kind of stands up to people as well. So, and he's got that eye for goal, hasn't he? And for somebody who's quite, well, very, very dominantly right-footed, he does tend to hold wide as well, which kind of gives us that width we need as well, which I think really helps. So, some player, I think we probably have to enjoy him while we've got him, don't we?
Yeah, I think a couple of people have mentioned that to me. They've sort of said they can't see him being here long. I mean, eight games, three goals, two assists. It's not bad, is it, for in your first eight games, Terry?
No, listen, I think he'll be for a little while yet. You know, yes, he's going to be on the radar of people if he keeps doing what he's doing. The thing was, he was at Fulham for a while. No one's really picked up on him. I think this obviously helps him come in and play. You play regular first-team football. Nine times out of ten, you're going to get a better player who plays week in, week out. He's up to this level comfortably. Martin Ling actually said to me, Ollie reminds him a little bit of Alan Comfort, and I see the yeah. directness of him. You know, when you give the ball to Alan, and although Alan was left-footed, drop of the shoulder, I mean, probably I would say Ollie's probably got a little bit more in his locker in terms of he can go left or right. I mean, the thing with Al was he would actually come inside, he'd feign the drop of the shoulder and come inside and still get back on his left foot. But I can see the similarities in the directness of the two of them. You know, fantastic player.
And Rich, have you been impressed with his physicality? Because again, we see a lot of these youngsters, you know, they come out of the under 23s league and stuff, and Shaq Thorpe was like that a bit towards the start of the season, wasn't he? And he's really, really strengthened. And but Ollie O'Neill seems to just be, he seems to be ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, he's lasted most games, I think, 90 minutes as well. I think he's come off once or twice, but, you know, he doesn't, you know, he runs himself into the ground, doesn't stop. I mean, the thing is, those sort of players, you know, I think when he did come off the other week, I was kind of thinking, I'm not sure if that's, I think it was the Burton game, possibly, because he's one of those players that can do something out of nothing. So I'd always, unless they're carrying something, I'd rather keep those sort of players on, to be honest. But I mean, I actually thought, I mean, I know obviously we'll talk about it last night later, but I thought he was actually, I wouldn't have picked him as man of the match myself. I know Matt Poulter did, but, you know, I thought he was at one of his, not quieter games, but I thought there were, you know, one or two players that were probably a bit more deserving. But, I mean, it just goes to show, I mean, that was probably still a 7.5-8 performance from him as well, and he's probably averaging that at the moment, almost like since he's been here. And I was a bit of a worry as well, because I've got this horrible feeling that he's going to be one of our shortest ever signings, and I'm starting to think that we're going to literally have him for 6 months and he'll be gone. And I mean, I don't know how long, I can't remember how long the contract is, but part of me thinks, like, just like lay off a little bit now, because, you know, I don't want you leaving this quickly, because he's that effective, it seems to me. I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously you'd go back to someone like Kevin Campbell, but that was kind of over the sort of 4 or 5 months. I mean, you know, within a month, you know, we're not even out of February yet. He's only really had sort of 6 weeks, I'd say. And, you know, already, I can't think of a signing in that period that's had that much effect, really. I mean, there probably is. There's probably
a similar thing, not same sort of player, but Paul Beasley. He wasn't here long. You could see he was a cut above, you know, League One standard. Yeah. And I think Bees was only here for, is it a season?
One season.
And, you know, but the good thing with Ollie, we've signed him. We'll get some sort of recompense for it. So, you know, it's whoever's recruited him or that was great bit of work.
All down to Martin. Nigel said in the Q&A, he said he said everyone should be praising Martin, but he said he only really spotted him playing against us, but then he sort of kept the track of him after that, and then realised Fulham would let him go, and that's where we've come in. I don't think we haven't paid a fee for him either, so it's undisclosed, but it's all based on, you know, appearances, selling clauses,
But I think, you know, but again, we highlight Martin Ling, you know, what a good job he does for the club. I know that not everyone sort of understands the job he does, but, you know, you look at that side there, Ollie O'Neill, you know, you look at the kids that we've brought in, like Shaq Ford, for example, what a signing he's been, and, you know, for the money that we're paying Shaq Ford compared to what Watford are paying, and it's just incredible what we're actually getting out of him at the moment, and, you know, he's been a real find, and even the two youngsters that we signed on deadline day, I know that there was a bit of, I suppose, controversy, I suppose, after Richie's rant, but you know, even they, when they come on, they've rolled their sleeves up, they've run around, they've done what we needed them to do, you know. So look, nothing but praise for Martin Ling. So anyway, okay, so let's finish talking about the Oxford game, shall we? So Tom James was unlucky in the 58th minute with one of his normal free kicks, and then the winner came in the 77th minute from George Moncur. So again, nice ball from Ollie O'Neill and into the left channel. Moncur slipped inside, and then what I thought was really good about this, when we've seen Moncur play, and I know, Richie, me and you have been particularly critical of Moncur, like, he hasn't given enough for the money that he's on and for the seniority in the squad. He hasn't given enough, but normally when he comes inside, he's looking to pass the ball, and what he did, he cut inside, and then rather than pass it, he then beat the second man and then curled it into the bottom corner. So good to see him, and I've got to say, he's playing the best football at the moment that I've seen him play since he signed for us. Gareth?
Absolutely. I'm wondering what's been said to him in the interim, sort of round about January time. It looks to me like he's had a right kick up the backside, to be honest, and sort of pull your finger out, start contributing. You're a decent player. You're on decent money. You know, it's about time you started deciding matches, and I think he's really taking it on board. I think part of that is the Galbraith situation, isn't it? Because if Hunt and James are both fit, Galbraith, if he's going to play, he's going to be in Monks' position, isn't he? So, you know, I suspect that might have a little bit to do with it as well. Interesting, it was last night as well, wasn't it? They moved Galbraith into number 10 quite early on, didn't they, in the game? So.
Terry?
I think George is a big believer in God's will, isn't he?
Yes.
Well, I believe God might have given him a bit of a stern talking to.
I hope so.
Because he's certainly, and I'm like you and Richard, I've been critical of him. His game last night, and we'll come to that. I didn't think he looked a bit tired last night, funnily enough. He looked a bit leggy.
I said that, yeah.
He didn't quite, but he still didn't play badly. But his games, his 3-4 games leading into, you know, and that's one of the great things. He stepped up when we needed him, you know. We've been coping all right with that in this season, but when he's been needed and he's made that difference, you just said it there, the winning goal. Good to see. I still don't think we shoot enough. I still think, probably the exception of Tom James, I don't think we really, you know, there's times, even last night was a cut time, I thought we could have crossed or maybe had a shot, but that's another thing. But with George, you know, it's been an absolute bonus that the last few games, from a personal point of view for him as well, and he's aware, he came up when he got man of the match a couple of games ago, he's aware of what's being said, and he kind of accepted that he deserved the criticism, which, you know, fair play. But yeah, an absolute bonus that other than last night, he's made a bit of a difference to us in the recent games.
Richie?
Yeah, I mean, it was mentioned on the show last week, actually, that I didn't know this, but he'd been offered to Carlisle. Mm-hmm. So obviously Drinham was on the verge of going there as well, but George was actually offered to them. So I wonder if that's possible, because he didn't want to go that far. So I wonder if that's kind of a motivation as well, the fact that, you know, we were possibly touting him around. He's got a point to prove. And I know he's got another year on his contract after this, but, you know, the way the first half of the season had gone, he probably thought, well, you know, I've got to try and find someone now. Let me show him what I can do. And if he ends up staying here, as Richie said, you know, great, because, you know, if he plays like he has done for the last month, you know, I think we'll all be happy. But yeah, you know, the last month, he's I think he's probably kept a lot of us quiet. And, you know, I think even, was it the Oxford, did he manage the last 90 minutes at Oxford? There was one game he didn't come off. There was one game, I think, and I think it might have been the Oxford game. But that's his, you know, he's always, you know, 60, 70 minute player. But, you know, the fact he actually managed to do a nice shift as well, which is great, really. Because even last season, he was coming off early in most of the matches. Mm. But yeah, I mean, you know, the last month or so, he's been superb. And I say, like, yeah, you're right. I agree. Yesterday, he did seem quite leggy. And to be honest, I think the change was needed. We'll see how it goes at the weekend. But I wouldn't be surprised to find him maybe giving a break on Saturday. But yeah, let's see.
Right, there's one more thing that we definitely need to talk about before we move on, and that's seems to be the bog standard now, Richie's red card. I mean, right, I'm torn with this one, because obviously we listened to the Matt Harrold interview afterwards, and he said that they were waiting to do a sub, so therefore I believe Richie was expecting us to be able to do that substitute.
Yeah, the paper was handed in, yeah.
Hence why he caught the ball in the first place. It was also a foul on Sol Brin, by the way. That should have been given. So therefore, you know, if the referee gives the foul on the goalkeeper, then Richie's not in trouble because the game's already stopped. So there's two things there. There are mitigating circumstances. However, leave the bloody ball alone. Just don't touch it. Just stay away. You know what I mean? And he did it last night jokingly, was like olaying as he was ducking under it and swerving out the way of it and stuff. It's, all right, fine. But Just keep your hands in your pockets. Leave the ball alone, you know? Like, am I being harsh?
No, you know, listen, in the good old days, you might have had a bit of common sense and a bit of communication between the fourth official and the ref. He might have said, look, this is what, you know, we thought was going to happen. But yeah, you give it a wide berth, don't you? You stay right out of it. So don't give, we always say, don't give the ref a chance to do that.
Yeah, and Gareth, I mean, it's his third sending off of the season. What do you think he's going to get? I mean, surely we've got to be looking at 5-6 games, maybe.
You would think so, wouldn't you? Yeah, I mean, and I agree with what's been said before. It's almost like when a player gets booked, isn't it? It's like, well, you just stay away. Don't do anything silly. Don't give the referee the opportunity to make it a second yellow. But I think with Richie, that's exactly what it is. I think it's his natural stubbornness. And his kind of attitude that stops him. I mean, I was telling you before, I was actually talking to his mother at half time, and she's been telling him, he just try and behave yourself. And he just, apparently, according to his mum, he just can't keep his mouth shut. So that's part of the problem. But yeah, I think they're going to throw the book at him, aren't they? You know, and
Did she say she was going to ground him?
She needs to sit him on the naughty step. That's what she needs to do.
Absolutely. But having said that, though, if he's not listening to his mother, I mean, what chance has anybody else got of convincing him to just sit down and behave himself? I don't know, yes.
Right, well, Mrs. Wellens, if you are listening to this, can you please have a word in his ear? Can we do something for the rest of the season? It would be quite nice. You know, the playoff push won't be the same without him. All right, so one other thing I picked up on, which was Sol Brin made a really important save in the 80th minute to keep us 2-1 up. And I just think that it's worthwhile giving Brin a shout out, because I think recently he's been so good and commanding of his area, coming out, collecting crosses right when we needed the game to be slowed down and when we needed, you know, like just to have that moment of breathing space. And I just think Sol Brin has been really, really good. And I know obviously there was some wobbly moments earlier on in the season, so I just think it's worthwhile giving Brin a shout out. Richie?
I think the best compliment you can give him is I don't think anyone would notice that Vigouroux's not here anymore. I mean, you know, the distribution's probably not quite the same, but other than that, I mean, you know, there's been a few goals recently as well where when I've watched them back, I thought we possibly could have done better, but, you know, as we sort of said before, he's commanding in the box now, he's coming out for crosses especially, he's as good as I've seen from anyone I can remember. But, I mean, yeah, let's say the biggest compliment is we're not missing our main player from last season, in my opinion. We're not even noticing it, and it's just a shame that, you know, he's on loan really, more than anything else, so...
All right, so we'll move on to last night's game. So one of the things we noticed yesterday, no Piggott on the bench. Do you think that is a sign of things to come, Rich, or do you think it's...
Yeah, I suspect so. I mean, I obviously we don't know, but it wasn't mentioned in the interview that I suspect it's not an injury. I've got nothing to base this on other than the fact it's just he doesn't suit the style. I don't think he's Richie's type of player. I'll be very surprised if he's here beyond into next season. In fact, I'm almost 100% certain he won't be, which is a shame because I can see there's a player there, but it just doesn't fit the way we play, really. So, I mean, I was possibly surprised when I saw he wasn't on the bench, considering he was on the weekend. But I don't think he would have, you know, to bring him on last night, I don't think he would have made any difference, really. I mean, saying that, when Edwards came on, actually, and I thought Burton, Edwards looked really good, I must say.
I thought Edwards was poor last night.
But when he came on, he just didn't seem lost. To understand what to do. He wasn't chasing the ball down, and, you know, when you're young and you've got a, you know, you want to impress it, you know, the bench, because obviously where I was sitting is directly behind, they were screaming at him to keep chasing the ball, and he just didn't seem to understand it, which was surprising, because I thought Burton, he was brilliant. I really rated his performance there, but you know, again, that's certainly something that he'll know not to do next time, I guess. But yeah, I'd say Piggott, I think we may get the odd appearance until the end of the season, but I'd be surprised if we kept the same fit players that we've got now to the end of the season. I don't see him even making the bench really that much.
Terry, what's that like for a player? Is that the sort of thing that could upset the balance of the squad or anything like that? Or, you know, how does it work from a team perspective?
It's possible it could affect it. I mean, I think at the moment, as Richie said, we don't know what the circumstances are, what's going on. It doesn't seem to be having an adverse effect on the boys. I think you just get, you know, that's for Joe to deal with, whatever, and the manager. That I don't see it as a problem going forward. And unless you'll get some players who can be a little bit disruptive. He doesn't strike me as that sort of boy.
No, he seems like a good pro.
I don't think it's an issue. Just going back to Keon Edwards last night, it's probably a good little learning curve for him. You don't get that when you play in the under-21s. The situations like that's why coming to a club and playing senior football, you learn so much from it, you know, and hopefully the kid will benefit from getting shouted at a lot.
it's a very
foreign environment at times, you know, we've tried to make a bit of a comparison with Kevin Campbell when he came to the club. Kevin was a different animal altogether, you know. He was a very confident, I don't know Karen Edwards to speak to, but with Kevin, you know, within 2 minutes of training, we knew what sort of person he was. He was confident, he was strong, and
he probably sat a few down in training, I would imagine, in the first session.
Yeah, you know, but obviously, I just don't, as I say, this experience for him is all about learning. And in that 10, 15 minutes he was on last night, let's hope he learns a lot from it. Yeah.
All right, so let's go through the lineups then. So we started with a 4-2-3-1 lineup with Bryn, Galbraith, Cooper, Beckles, and James at the back. Brown and El Mazzouni in the middle of midfield. Ford, Moncur, O'Neill, and Sotiriou up front. Good to see Jordan Brown back after a 2-game suspension. Dan Prattley has deputised fantastically well, but I just think we look a better side with Jordan Brown in it. I just think he's a class act. Okay?
Absolutely agree. I was saying it all through yesterday. I mean, take nothing away from Prattley. Phil did nicely and stuff. But yeah, Brown was the key difference, wasn't it? And he stops the other team playing and gets us going forward, doesn't it? I mean, it was two tackles in a row just before. Yeah. And he's just so impressive, isn't he? And so I'm convinced that the plan was that Prattley was going to start games, this is from the beginning of the season, and Brown would replace him. Mm. But it's gone the other way around, because Brown has been so fantastic. And it's early to say, but if we were picking our player of the season, I think my vote would be with Jordan Brown, to be honest. He's been brilliant.
Yeah, do you know what? He's one of them sort of unsung heroes, isn't it? You kind of almost don't see how much he does until he's not there. And he's one of them, Rich, what you said earlier on, a solid 7, 8 out of 10 every week. And if he has a poor game, we really know about it. That's the thing, isn't it? It was a tight first half, and I thought they pressed us really well, in fairness. They pressed in numbers, and they were obviously well drilled. But what was really impressive was we didn't panic, and we didn't just start oofing it. We still tried to play through the lines. I thought what was really interesting, when we started to pick the ball up better, there was one point where Omar Beckles broke the line. He was the only one to really do it in the first half. He broke the line and went on, and we looked threatening, and then he'd give the ball away, which is frustrating because Omar does that. He does the hard bit, and then he just sort of give the ball away. But he almost showed the route to this is how you beat the press. Just you step out with it. But neither side really created any chances. Terry, picking up on something you said earlier on, Moncur really looked like he was struggling. He kept pointing to his chest.
Yeah, maybe there was an issue there last night.
Yeah. I don't know whether he's asthmatic or whether he's...
Richie's interview, he does mention about his chest, actually.
And Richie said a chest injury, but it looked to me like he was struggling to breathe. He made one run in the first half, Moncur, where he broke from the edge of our own 18-yard box, and he burst through, like, setting a tack up, And then after that, he couldn't move, basically. And
I saw that a lot last season
So I don't know whether we're being harsh saying he looked leggy or whether there was a genuine issue maybe where he's struggling with his breathing.
When you consider the fact that he's only, as we were saying, he doesn't really do 90-minute matches and he's starting to do that now. And we've had a lot of games over the last 6 weeks where he's been in. So it's quite possible it was maybe just one game too far, I think, really. Hence why... either the fact he came off at half time might mean he's okay for Saturday, or it might be the time to actually maybe bring him on. I still thought he didn't look too bad, actually. I mean, I personally thought Blackpool for the first 10-15 looked fairly decent, actually, but they dropped pretty spectacularly, and they didn't come out in the second half at all like I thought they would either. So, but in that first 10-15, I thought, especially up front, they looked quite good, and they had a couple of tricky players in midfield as well. So,
but again, I think that goes back to the physicality, what you were mentioning earlier on, Terry, is the fact that, you know, we are a young side and we could have been overawed by that, but we didn't. Everyone, man, stood up and was being counted, as it were, you know.
On that, so when they set up at the start of the game, they were actually denying the ball going wide.
Yeah.
They were you physically saw their wing backs not allowing the ball to go to Shaq forward or to Ollie. You made a good point about Omar coming out. That's the way you've got to break it. They were set, they had a good shape, you've got to break the lines. So you have to, you know, sometimes you've got to do something a little bit different. So that's a good point you made there, Bill. And by doing that, it just gives them, they have to think slightly differently, the opposition. They were quite, as I say, that first 20 minutes, they were comfortable. But another good point was made, we were patient. We didn't panic. We just kept the ball moving. And in the end, they kind of lost their shape and discipline eventually. You know, obviously, when you score a goal, that helps as well because, you know, goals change games. But I thought, first 20 minutes, I thought, these are a big, strong side.
Yeah.
This could be a long night. I thought they were sort of waiting for their opportunity. But it never really developed. And credit to us for that. You know, I actually, looking back on that game, I actually think it was right up there as one of their best performances of the season as a team, because we attacked pretty well, but our the appetite to defend, he sort of mentioned it with Jordan Brown, Idris, he put so much work into last night. As I said before, Brandon Cooper had, for me, probably his best game of the season. Omar, they worked... When the ball was coming in the box near the end, we were just getting players around the ball. We were so proactive, you know, in dealing with stuff. And I was so impressed with last night. We'll play better football this season.
Yeah.
But as an all-round, if I was a manager looking at that, I'd say we defended solidly. I thought we attacked decently. We were patient. We kept the ball. We'd done all the right things last night.
And you mentioned those four, that sort of, you know, that square, as it were, you know, Brown, Elmazouni, Cooper and Omar Beckles. But I tell you what else typified it for me last night, and it's not someone you would normally necessarily assume with rolling their sleeves up, but I thought Tom James was fantastic last night.
Do you know, in the first 20 minutes, he got beat three times in the air.
I was about to say
he was getting beat every time.
He lost every single one.
Yeah, and he was quite a big boy, the four, wasn't he? But that typified it. He stuck at it, and he worked a way out. He was getting up against him, and he weren't letting him get the run on him. And that's brilliant as a footballer. We've talked this season about sometimes when we don't know how to work things out on the pitch. It looked like they actually worked things out a bit better last night, which was really good to see. And Tom typified that last night.
He's actually having a very underrated season, Tom James, I think, isn't he? He's going under the radar a bit. He's been very steady, because I thought he'd struggle to step up. At the start of the year, I thought he doesn't look like he's going to be a League One player. He's really
good.
Well,
you were saying earlier about technical players. He's a very good technical player. The thing that probably lets him down, he lacks a yard of pace, maybe, if he comes up against someone who's... I mean, he's not slow, I'm not saying that at all. But if you come up with someone, you know, he might struggle a little bit with that. But you're right, we've got so many technically good players in that side, and Tom's one of them.
And I think, you know, again, people seem to forget he was... left back first or right back first half, left back second half, you know what I mean? So he's played on both sides, and again, that's something that people, it's an underrated skill to have, to be, you know, able to adapt as quickly and work on
all the best players can do that.
Oh, there you go, so you know. Yeah.
So, sorry.
Do you know what I thought was really interesting in the first half? There was one point where we broke forward, and Ford and Sotiriou were breaking forward together, and earlier on in the season, Ford would have 100% gone direct and had a shot. Yesterday, he tried to be too nice to his mate and lay his mate in and just messed the pass up. I wanted to see, but It's interesting because I know that Ruel said that him and Shaq have got a really good relationship there. And I think that he was a little bit too unselfish there, Shaq. He should have just gone on, drove, had the shot, keeper goes out and saves it, then Ruel takes the follow-up maybe. But again, I think that's something that... It's learning, isn't it? But it's really interesting to see how much his game has developed. Gareth?
Absolutely. I mean, it's been said a couple of times, hasn't it, that he'd never played wide right at all, had he? You know, which is quite surprising for a central striker that kind of got a bit of pace about him. That you'd think he'd have some time out wide. But, you know, it seems like he's learning the role, and he doesn't play it like a proper winger, does he? It's not like stretch-the-pitch winger. It's more that kind of inside right channel, really, isn't it? You know, and that's the way he works. But, yeah, he's really blossoming, isn't it? But perhaps he's going too far now, and perhaps he should get his head down and shoot a bit more. Yes.
And Brownie was unlucky with an effort in the first half, which was blocked inside the 18-yard box. And again, good work from Ollie O'Neill to create that opportunity, beating his man down the left and just cutting that ball back. Rich?
Yeah, I mean, we've said it all about Ollie O'Neill already, I think, haven't we? So, I mean, it's, you know, funny actually, one of the things I was going to mention as well, we'll hear it on the interview, but we haven't actually really spoke about him in this sense. I mean, Richie in his interview said he thought Sotiriou was the best player. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't, after the first half, I wasn't thinking that. But again, this is the difference, right, I think, where you watch it as a fan compared to as you're watching it as a manager or even an ex-player or something. You spot these other things because, you know, I did listen to the interview and I thought I just... don't see that. I couldn't even see it afterwards, if I'm honest. But I wasn't looking out for that. But, you know, it's amazing.
His work rate was a lot better last night. He's working, and that's what he needs to improve on. But, you know, as I say, he really, as I say, he typified again that team spirit that you're not going to, you know, you defend from the front. It's the first rule. You know?
Yeah. But do you know how we know, do you know how you know Sotiriou had a good game? Because you noticed that Kane and Edwards didn't.
Yeah.
But it is though, isn't it, right? Because Edwards didn't do everything Sotiriou was doing, and because he didn't do that, all of a sudden everyone was going, well, why is he not chasing that? Why is he not running over there? Why is
he not closing
that space? And it's because Sotiriou had been doing it. And look, you know, in our particular group, there are some people who don't rate Rule Sotiriou at all. I'm not going to name names, you know. But I just think that sometimes, as a centre-forward, especially when you're playing as a lone centre-forward, you have to do a lot of donkey work and you have to do a lot of running and a lot of pressing. And as you say, Terry, it's letting down in the past.
Yeah. He was far more of a nuisance last night to them. You know, he was fighting for the ball, you know. A little bit of going back to the side about Evan Galbraith, he don't let his size affect him. Yeah. He punches above his weight, you know, in the physical sense.
I think he's got quite a good shape for a striker as well, hasn't he? He's got that upper strength, you can tell, and he's got a bit of pace about him as well. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I've got to be honest, he was one I was unsure would step up, but I think, I mean, especially when you look at his goals return, you're right, there's a lot of people that still get on his back. Where I sit, there is as well. But
Because of that, though. They're getting back because they probably seem a little bit lazy at times, you know. And, yeah, listen, you can't underestimate someone who can nick you a goal.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great quality to have. It's not an easy quality to have. The hardest thing to do on the pitch is to score a goal, and he does that time and again. But now if he can add that little other side to his game, he would become a better player.
Yeah, I think you can see that Richie loves him as well. Yeah. You know, like he did with Drinan in the past or Omar in the past, where he has his favourites. And Theo, I think at the moment, Ruel's a massive favourite. You can see that, I think.
But I think exactly what we were saying about Joe Piggott, Ruel allows you to do, and Ruel, Dan Ajay, they allow you to do what he wants them to do, which is defend from the front. So they press, they hurry, and they've got that pace to get across, and they've got that pace to get back in when needed. And I think that's something that, as you say, Richie likes. And that's interesting because, you know, he mentioned Kelman before as well. Kelman was able to do that last season. And I think, you know, if you've got someone up there that's going to do that work rate, you know, what's the old saying? You know, you defend from the front. And that's exactly what we're doing at the moment.
It's funny, actually, because as you're saying it now, I mean, he was exactly like that. And you kind of forget that. They're the players that go under the radar a bit, I suppose. You don't, again, as a fan, you're probably judging a forward on their goals rather than anything else. And last night I was watching like the two or three misses at the beginning when he kept missing it. I'm thinking, oh no, not enough. Maybe Richie was right about him being a better sub. But then, you know, when Richie said it, you start thinking back and thinking, well, actually, yeah, because, you know, he put the ball through for Ollie O'Neill as well, didn't he?
Did,
so, yeah, I mean, it probably was a really good game, but... You know, if a goalkeeper makes a mistake, you don't really remember his saves that much, do you? If a striker misses an open goal, you don't think about the running he does and everything like that. But I think, yeah, as I say, you're watching it from a fan's point of view there as well, I guess.
Interesting, I thought at half time when they took Moncur off that actually they brought Rob Hunt on and moved Galbraith into midfield rather than bringing on Max Sanders. Terry, obviously Sanders has some injury problems this season. Do you think they were just maybe protecting him a little bit, didn't want to give him a full 45?
Yeah, I mean, and the thing was, it was quite a physical game as well. It wasn't one for the purists, probably, you know, the second half. You know, it's horses for courses. And that's the thing. Evan Galbraith is like 5'3", you know, and 7 stone in his wet gear. But you can put him in there and he'll do a job. He'll get about. I mean, listen, this season, he won't get the assist, but when he out-jumped the boy from... Who was it? Northampton, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
4'3", yeah.
I mean, that was amazing because the fella was 6'4", yeah, and twice as wide. And he just got... And that, to me, is showing... It's showing the spirit within our squad at the moment, you know, and... The confidence is flowing through. And to say, if you're a player out there and you're watching someone like that do that, you think, well, I can do that. And, you know, Evan Galbraith, he's, you know, he inspires others to do the same. And maybe, going back to Ruel, he's looking around him and thinking, yeah, look, you know, I can up my game here. Yeah. You know, and as I say, they're all bouncing off each other at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned the goal earlier on. You mentioned a good carry by Ruel, but let's not forget El Mazzouni's role in the goal as well. I mean, brilliant winning the ball in the middle of midfield, and obviously Sotiriou then with a carry and releasing Ollie O'Neill. And you know, as we mentioned, I mean, look, we've waxed lyrical about Ollie O'Neill all night, so I'm not going to go on, but a right foot finish on Saturday, a left foot finish last night, you know. So really, really good to see, and good to see that link up play with those two players, El Mazzouni and Sotiriou as well. And you know, it was just enjoyable to watch last night because you know, as Richie said, it wasn't, and as you mentioned earlier on, Terry, we had to go a little bit longer at times and we had to play off the second ball, and that's not something we've typically been very good at previously, but I think it's that fighting spirit that's really carrying us through at the moment.
Well, maybe that's where Richie's learning as well. Yeah. You know, you can't play football out from the back all the time. We say sometimes if they're pressing you, whatever, you've got to miss them out. You know, this is what Stevenage do so well. You know, they don't mess about at the back. They can do if they want, but they're a bit more direct. It changes how the opposition come at you then. And I think you saw it last night. Their press was very good the first sort of 20-odd minutes, really good. But it sort of disintegrated a little bit. During the course of the game, it became less and less that press.
Right, well, without further ado, we're running out of time. Let's hear from Richie Wellens. This is a good one, this. You won't want to miss it.
Richie, thanks for joining us. Once again, congratulations. Another very important victory.
A brilliant win in terms of... On Saturday we beat Oxford by playing really good football and moving the ball smoothly and rotations, and tonight wasn't about that. Take credit to them. Things well set up defensively, and then we just decided to miss midfield out and pick up second balls, and we knew that was the only way to win the game. And I think the goal came from us playing a long ball, landing on a second ball. I just thought we was really good at running duels today. I thought the best player on the pitch was Ruel Sotiriou. I know Ollie got on man of the match, and he was some really, really good performances, but Ruel just set the tempo for everything that we've done. Tied in the last 10 minutes, maybe 15. And again, we get 7 minutes added on. But tremendous Tuesday night again, so let's keep it going and see where it takes us.
Just how special is Ollie O'Neill? 3-4 now.
You can try not to sign bad players, Dave. Yeah, and sometimes, listen, recruitment is really hard. You can have all the best intentions in the world, and a player might look brilliant, and he's got all the attributes to come into your football club and do well. And for one reason, sometimes it just don't work. The fact that we had that look at him, I just looked at him. He's strong. Probably younger supporters don't really know it, but he reminds me of Jesper Gronkia, who was a player that signed for Chelsea. Strong, upright. Doesn't look like he's running quick, but then when you look at the people chasing him, they ain't catching him, so he must be quick. Good ball carrier, two-footed. Scored with his right foot the other day, scored with his left foot today. And the energy of the front players was just... We ran channel. People can go, oh, what's your goalkeeper's pass length? What's your playing out from the back? What's this? What's that? And I see managers up and down the country playing one-dimensional every week. We didn't need to play today. We didn't need to play to beat Blackpool. We needed to play to beat Oxford because we thought we could hurt them. But today it was about getting it in, in and around our front players, you know, but we're teaching them to be physical because they're young players. And I thought that the duels, the second balls, and again, it's finding a way to win. I look at Liverpool and they find a way to win. We haven't got like Man City players where it's, this is the culture of our club, this is, we have to mix it, and we're mixing it and we're winning every week. So credit to the players.
After recent weeks, so important to keep that clean sheet.
I'm trying to think of a threat on our team. Did we have a shot? A shot on target? I don't. Listen, they just beat Blackpool 4, and they've scored goals against Peterborough in the game before that, the league game before that. They're a talented team, some really good football players. Players, physicality, they've got players, especially you look likes of Carey and Morgan coming on. They've got Dembele, ball manipulators and players with good technical ability who can score from distance or slip a pass. But we didn't see it. You know, I thought it was a clever move by them playing CJ Hamilton. I was a little bit worried before the game because this Saturday, Tuesday, and they've had the same, so it's no excuse. But the fact when you're bringing in a quick player like that had me a little bit worried. But yeah, I thought in a lot of periods of the game, kind of just cancelled each other out. There was not much happening. I'm not going to stand here and say we were brilliant and played silky football tonight. But again, it's League One football. It's league football. Forget league football. If it's a Premier League, Championship or League One, sometimes when you go Saturday, Tuesday, and your physical levels are not what they are, sometimes you have to find a way, and we've done that. And I think in terms of duels and a threat to score, I thought we were totally dominant.
You made a change at the break. George Moncur, is he okay?
Not feeling great. Had a sore chest, so got Moncur great when he was on, looked a threat. Obviously, we had to. And to be fair, I thought Ethan got on the ball first half, but CJ Hamilton was doing a really good job at and blocking him, so we just thought, let's go a little bit defensive there because we're not playing that side anyway. Let's nullify the threat of Hamilton, which Hunty did, and then we release on the third forward at the pitch.
And is Jordan Brown okay?
He's fine, but he's just not playing. Obviously, by that stage, I think we've probably 20, 25 minutes ago, all they're playing long. So Grimshaw gets the ball, whether it be from a set goal kick or open play, where he's bringing it. And their only threat was winning a first contact and having midfield runners. So we just decided to put Prats in there, front screen, let Prats go up for the headers with Kouassi, and then make sure our defensive shape behind that was good.
You can help me here. I think I made a mistake in commentary. It's 10 yellow cards for Idris Elmazouni, but only 9 in the league. He's okay, isn't he?
It's 9, yeah.
And what about yourself?
Why did you have to mention yellow and reds? It's well, interesting. I got told today before and said, if you touch the ball today, it's a red card. Well, first, how petty is that? How petty is it? But Neil Critchley controls the ball with his feet, runs on the pitch and kicks it back to him. It's a ridiculous rule. Ridiculous rule. Why? If a manager... By the way, I'll explain what the red card was because some supporters don't know. Why should a manager who's touching the ball get... or let's say we did delay the start. Why should he get a red when the players are yellow? It's just the making Rod thrown back. The decisions were harder for the refs, more confrontational. Anyway, go back to Oxford, OK? I'm telling, clear on the video, Soldrin to kick it for a throw-in because Shaq Ford needs to come off. We put the card in and Keon Edwards is there, ready to come on, OK? He then shanks it into my hand. We wanted it a little bit further for a throw-in. The fact that their striker has jumped in front of Sol means it hasn't gone as far. The ball comes straight to me. I catch him and I look at the ref and I say it's a foul. And as I say a foul, I turn around and say we'll make the sub. But the fact that their right back has tried to grab the ball off me makes it something that it shouldn't be. I let go of the ball. The ball is in my hand for 3 seconds. However, delayed the game. If I let the ball go and don't touch it, it takes longer than 3 seconds to get the ball back. I turn around to the official, yes, can we make the sub, please? And then they don't even come over and say, Rich, what are you doing? Well, we've got the card in, we want a substitution. And it just becomes a dialogue between them. Today was very, very, very good. But some of them, and then some of people have probably watched me, I'm going on here, aren't I? But I'm enjoying it, so I may as well get my money's worth. And then I watch Klopp, and he's effing and blind. He's a passionate game. And by the way, I was a player that was passionate player. And when I got to 35, 36, I lost that passion. You know what I've done? I quit. Yeah? And I have passion as a manager. And the day that I arrive to do my job and I have no passion is a day I will retire to my house in Dubai and I will lie on a beach and you will not see me again. Okay? But I have that passion. But I see Jurgen Klopp showing passion and then he whacks the fourth official on the back. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. And then lo and behold, Pochettino is playing right wing at Wembley, 40 yards from his box, No yellow card. No. Just be consistent and stop. Listen, if we step outside our box, look at the size of a box. It's a 6 by... It's a 3 metre by 3 metre box. The ones at Wembley, I see Arteta running left wing every time down it. And this is not a slant against these managers. These are top managers who are passionate. Why are we taking out the... Go and watch Italian football if you want to be boring and slow and technical. Or a French league. It's boring. English football is about passion and about our supporters loving it. And I will do the job as long as possible while I have this passion for our supporters. But you're killing us financially, for a start, because that's beans on toast in my house for a month. My February wage will not be doing anything. But let us enjoy the game. We're always worried about touching the ball or speaking long to the ref. I mean, I get sometimes that you should not throw your arms because it looks bad. But if it's a penalty, like it should have been a penalty when Ethan Bargalbraith is going up for a header, I'm done. I'm going on too long.
All right.
Well, thank you, Richie. I was going to ask about whether or not you're going to appeal.
Mention the supporters.
Sorry. Go on. Yes, well, they did have a great atmosphere. There was a great atmosphere, wasn't there? Even when there was that long delay, they didn't stop singing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I hope the lad's okay that went down, but our supporters have been brilliant. But again, they have a group of players, young, old, Beckles, Pratt, who are giving everything. Like I say, I'll go back to that passion. They are showing passion on the pitch. And when supporters that work all week come on a Saturday on Tuesday, listen, we'd like to be better on the ball than today. But the circumstances, some of them are knackered, and we found a way to win. And the reflection of that team, and when I watch that team, is a true reflection of me as a coach, as a manager, and a true reflection of our supporters.
Fantastic. Thank you, Richie.
Thanks,
Adam.
Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.
The past two victories so important and oh so satisfying. The last two performances have been exceptional, and credit has to be given to our very special manager. At no point this season has Richie Welland's been able to field his strongest side. Serious injuries to key players could have dominated this campaign, but Richie's passion, belief and desire to win, no matter what the odds, has ensured that Leighton Orient enter March as genuine contenders for the playoffs. Richie Welland's tactical knowledge, the best I've known in all my years covering the O's. This exceptional understanding of the game, coupled with his ability to clearly communicate his message to players, has ensured that the O's have defied expectations. It's a shame that amongst two exceptional victories has come a third red card for the O's boss. The one he received at Oxford, without doubt the harshest. Martin Woods got it wrong. A petty response and a huge overreaction. But let's not dwell on such matters and focus on the positives. There are so many. 3-4 for Ollie O'Neill, such an exciting young player. A much-needed clean sheet on Tuesday night, and credit has to be given to Omar Beckles and Brandon Cooper, who provided the response that Welland's demanded after two difficult performances at the back in E10. Finally, praise has to go to the Orient faithful. Supporters played their part in two huge results. They outsang Oxford fans even when the Orient were behind. And they generated another magnificent atmosphere on Tuesday night. They'll be needed again on Saturday. Bristol Rovers come to town and Idris El Mazzouni will be available. He's 10 yellow cards and one in the cup. The cut-off point is when we make the trip to Wigan.
Will the real Leighton Orient please stand up? Let's face it, this is just not the Orient our slightly older supporters are used to. Acclimatised to false hope and promises, this new brazen Leighton Orient is just not on. Two league titles in 6 years, and then top 10 in our first year back in League One, and now safe from relegation. Talk of £4 million being spent on the training ground and a possible new 17,000 all-seater stadium in the next 10 years. Come off it, O's. Who are you kidding? Now, anyone around my age is probably just waiting for it to all go wrong. You know what I mean. An end-of-season collapse, losing 9 on the bounce. Welland's up in sticks and going to Middlesbrough in the same taxi that takes Sol Brimbo. And it all ended next season with relegation back to League Two. Oh, and probably throw in the news that Ken Teague and Nigel Travis have sold the club to this group of ex-footballers who apparently want a League Cup to buy, who then proceed to make a Bacchetti cock-up of it all. For now, though, we will all stay 80s and 90s band Roxette fans and enjoy the joyride. So, 6 points from what, on paper, were two very tough games. Any Orient side pre-2018 would get nowhere near a double win, and it has opened up even more absolutely crazy and ridiculous jonering talk about the end of season lottery. I said last week there'll be no talk of the playoffs here or in the fanzine, but I must just say this. Wouldn't it be an absolutely crazy symmetrical end to 10 years of madness if we qualified for them, beat Peterborough in the semis, and then turned Evans over at Wembley? Interesting. Well, if that happens, then anyone aged 18 or over is on a 3-month bender until the opening day of the season, and we turn over Brentford at the GTEC Stadium live on Sky on a Friday night. In 2013-14, we saw a few taglines come to the fore. Why not? And this group never gives up were two very popular ones, and the second is certainly prevalent as it was 10 years ago. With one of the youngest sides for over 40 years, we are literally defying the odds, and as the chant goes, putting on a show most weeks. This year was all about staying up and attempting a mid-table finish. Anywhere from 12th to 16th was acceptable. Yet with just under a quarter of the season remaining, we're on the cusp of the top six, churning out some serious form and refusing to give up. Last night was a case in point. Blackpool played little football, in my opinion, and their plan of going long against our fullbacks was easily evident. Our football was nowhere near as fluent as Saturday's ridiculously impressive display at Oxford, yet last night we had to win ugly. An old-fashioned roll your sleeves up, get involved in the heat of the battle, and then take your chance when it came. What did we do? Exactly that, and secured another valuable 3 points to leap from Blackpool, who, of course, remember, had just put 4 past Bolton on Saturday. If any Orient fan, as I've said before, cannot get excited about the way that we are doing things on and off the pitch at the moment, then they're either mad or dead. Who, after Saturday and last night, just can't wait to get back down to church in E10 and hopefully turn over Bristol Rovers? Who, after watching Richie Welland's pre- and post-backball, doesn't get that buzz for the next 90 minutes? It really isn't the O's, and I and many others are used to. But for one, I am absolutely loving it. Sing up Saturday, get behind the boys, and up the mighty, mighty O's!
Okay, and thank you to Richie Wellens, Dave Victor and Matt Roper there. Right, Bristol Rovers on Saturday then. We're closing down the show. We've got about a minute left, I would say. Ford came off with a knock. Do we think we need to rest, Gareth?
It didn't look massively serious, so hopefully not. But if he needs to, then perhaps we can rotate a little bit. So,
Terry, anything you'd change for the lineup, or would you stick with the same lineup you started last night?
I'd stick with it to start. You know, as I say, I thought Richie got his substitutions right at the times of the game. But, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. Rich?
I think I'd start with a team that started the second half. So, hunting for Monco. I quite like the fact that it was Hunt rather than, you know, Prattley coming on and Galbraith staying there. I'd like to see...
I think so, yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, he's been so good at that. Right back, part of me now is wondering whether I want to ruin that as well. So, but yeah, I mean, I think 1-0, I'd say, on Saturday.
Well, let's hope you're right. Gents, thank you so much for tonight. Really appreciate it. Have a good week, everybody, and safe travels home. And we shall see you all on Saturday. All the best.
We're not a city, we're not a town. We're the only one of us around, and you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we'll lay an Orient from E10. Lay an Orient from E10. This is our club and we are proud. So sing it up and sing it loud. We were formed in 1881, clans in Orient and so begun the old story and on it runs. We're late and Orient from E10. Whatever challenge has come our way, the Orient faithful are here to stay. We've
will live to fight another day. We're Leighton Orient from Eton. Leighton Orient from Eton. This is our club and we are proud. So sing it up and sing it loud. We're not a city, we're not a town. We're the only one of us around. So you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge you have.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.